What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's going on, everybody? Happy New Year if you're listening to this live. 2025. Another year of the dogs. Another year with you guys. Another year with me. This is a podcast just with me. You guys like this. I get some DMs on Instagram about you guys liking my podcast, which is just me, short and sweet. Title kind of says it all. How I failed my dog, Burley. It's not clickbait, guys, so chill out, all right? But it is a reality of I just wanted to share my expectation because every time every time I post a video of Burley doing something, you guys are always like, man, it's so good to see even me, a professional, struggle. And I guess I never really thought about it because Lakota was, when I first started training with Lakota, I never really had the people looking at me as I do now. And I didn't have the following, and I didn't film anything, film as much anyway. And so, also Lakota's Lakota. She's just a legend. She was the easiest dog to train in the world because she's a Dutchie, and she's just the best. So besides that, because she's a miracle dog, unicorn dog, as we call them, Burley, for those of you who don't know, he just turned a year old, and he's a Borble. He's an intact Borble. I got him, and I've talked about this before too, but I'm going to just tell you, I got him as a protection dog. When I was laying at night, the story goes, there was a young girl who got abducted out of a local park in my upstate area, New York area. And at the time, I just had my son Banks, and it was just terrifying. I mean, the whole world was terrified of she ended up getting, we found her and all that stuff. But it's just it really, what I asked myself laying in bed is I said, what's the most protective breed that I've worked with that I would own? And the Borble is the immediate dog that came to mind. They're the most interesting dogs. If you're in with them, they're your buddy. But if you're not, you're not. And they just have this innate, I've never seen before. Rottweilers kind of have this too, this innate, I'm judging you, I'm looking at you, and all I need to do is just be here for you to get the message type vibe. They kind of just side eye you. They're just cool about it, right? They're not anything else. So anyway, he just turned a year. And the main reason why I failed him, air quotes, is because my expectations were way too high. And it's a good learning curve because it makes better relatability for me and my clients as I work with Lakota, this... five-star general and the best, in everything, right? And when I work with my clients, it really is hard for me to relate because I trained Lakota and some other dogs. And so Burley really allows me to get back into the trenches of I can relate, right? He can be reactive. He's big. He's stubborn. He's pushy. He chews on stuff, right? And so my expectations were too high with this dog. Because I really wanted him to to be trained faster. And I really have to go at his pace. So he acts like a 3 or 4 month old puppy in the body of 150 plus pound animal and growing. I talked to the breeder recently and he said that Borbles can grow. Let me see what he said actually exactly just to read you guys. He's about 150 pounds of all muscle. You can see him pretty much everywhere on social media. Can't see him here on podcast, but he said that they will grow. His frame and head will fill out over the next 10 months, but he will grow. They get wider until about 3 years. He'll continue to grow. So his height and his weight length will be done right around now, and he's going to get wider and bulkier, which he is. So anyway, this man is a football player on steroids, and he's giant. And my expectations were in my head to like get him trained up fast, right? Because it's my personal dog, and I need him trained up fast because I got stuff to do. Well, that doesn't matter with him, right? So he's just now just coming into himself, and he is super suspicious of everything in a Borble fashion, like Borble owners will tell you jokingly, but also seriously, like if you put anything new in your house, he's going to know about it. It's like the reason why, and again, the other reason why I like Borbles is because their breed standard behavior is pretty consistent across the board. Like every Borble that you meet is likely going to be acting the same, kind of have the same, which is cool. Because you might get like a dog that does something really spunky and interesting and funny and goofy, and you'll never see it again. But I have Borble clients that got their Borble from a completely different gene pool that do the same thing that no other dogs do because it's a Borble and that's what they do. And so, like for an example, we had some wind here last night, and I had a pot of flowers, well, are dead now, but it's a pot for flowers in the spring and the summer, and it like tipped over and blew away. And he was immediately like super hackles were up, growling, barking, running up to it, pressing it, like bodying the thing. And it's just so funny because all Borbles are pretty much like that. And so what he's starting to become now is what I've noticed. And if you follow me on Instagram, I talk about this in my stories, as I say, like, for the very first time in my life with him, he's finally like sleeping outside of the crate. He's laying down outside of the crate. He is taking naps outside of the crate by himself, not in a place or anything. He's just finding places to sleep. So it took him a solid year to do that. And it's been a really wild journey, and it still has, because he is still extremely... how do I say this? He's still very, very, very into stuff. And that is not a training thing. So when you train dogs, it's your dog's understanding of what you want them to do. It's not necessarily how they are going to be. You should write that down. And so Burley has been a challenge for my whole family. But so that means, like, right now, just to paint you a picture, let's say I let him out of his crate. Typically, I'll bring him for a walk. I'll play with his prey pole because he loves that. Prey pole is basically this big cat toy that I can exert a lot of energy really quickly from the comfort of my own yard, which means I don't have to bring him, because I don't have time. Like, that's the thing, is like, I just don't have time. Like, this dog is, but it's my responsibility. So that's what I do. Bring him for a walk. He goes in, typically, depends on the day, but he goes in, some days he doesn't get anything because of the weather, or some days he doesn't get anything because of our schedule, but typically he gets like two walks a day, and then we play, and then, so if I let him out of the crate, well, after we go for a walk, he'll eat his breakfast, he'll go back into his crate for half an hour to an hour, depending on our schedule, what's going on, and then when we let him out, like we have to shut doors, because he'll get into garbages, he will, so like, for an example, the training ends there, right? Like if he wanders into my garbage and he smells one of the baby diapers or something that he finds interesting, or just anything, a fucking toothpick, whatever, he's going to put his big fat head in there and he's going to take it out and he's going to examine it. Now, that's not training. If I told him to leave it, he would. If I told him to walk away, he would. But it's still not going to stop his inquisitive behavior to be a dog, or in this case, to be a four-month-old puppy in a giant bodybuilder body. So that's something that's really important for you guys to understand too, as you're working with dogs and you're training with your own dog, because some people get so frustrated because they see the highlight reels on Instagram or on TikTok, and it's like, man, like, you guys have to understand, is like, those fancy dogs doing all that fancy stuff are probably a nightmare to live with. And so is Burley. So, I mean, it doesn't matter. You can have your cake and eat it too, or you can just have a big blockhead that at some point in time hopefully becomes you know, very useful around my house. Just kidding. He already is. Like, people are like, they don't come into my house when he's out, which is good. That's exactly why I got him. And so we'll have to, like I said, we have to shut doors. We have to do a lot of different stuff to manage him, right? So if we don't hear him, we're like, he's like a third kid. Like, Lakota, we could leave her for 2 months, and as long as somebody brought out to go bathroom and eat and drink, she'd be perfect. She wouldn't get anything. She wouldn't do anything. She'd be fine. This guy, you can't leave him for 5 minutes without him getting into something. But now he's still slowly starting to adjust into a normal house dog, where he's finding within his own to go and lay down and to take a nap and to lounge. And even like this morning when I was making breakfast, which I have a smoothie every day, he's usually like ripping stuff up or trying to get into something. He was just laying down, which is the very first time. So it took about a year exactly to his birth date to really calm down and chill. And so the way that I ruined my training with my dog is my expectations were too high, which made me very frustrated with my dog in the training. Because he just didn't, and again, obviously me being a professional, for a living, I literally get paid to work with dogs as a professional, right? Like, that's what I've been doing for the last 13 years. And so, for me, I wanted to expedite the process really quick, but I just realized it really quickly. I'm like, oh, dude, you just don't get it. And so, it goes back down to these dogs, like the breed of these dogs, like even where I got them, they weren't, some of them were inside as pets, but most of them weren't. And that's really how they kind of thrive, is being left out to do a job. You know, they're not like a border collie isn't a great pet, right? Like, even living with a field lab can be very difficult, as not a good pet, right? And what that means is like, when you're listening to this, like, what does that mean, not a good pet? That means that your dog might be better suited just doing one thing and one thing only. So like, for a hunting dog, for an example, like, a lot of them, some of them are dual purpose, but most of them aren't. Like a beagle or something like that, like, they live outside, they don't go inside, they're not leash trained. You just let them out and do their thing. They do the thing that they're bred to do, which is chase things, smell things, and track things, right? And that's what they do on weekends. Like, I had a buddy had a beagle, a couple beagles, and they had never been inside in their life. They wouldn't know what to do. Like, they live outside, rain, snow, cold, heat. Like, that's their life. And then it's kind of weird to think about, because they treated them kind of like hamsters. But at the same time, their genetics, and I don't know. I really don't know the answer to this, and I don't know the truth to this, but it seems like their genetics wouldn't allow them to do anything else. Like, if you brought them into that, I mean, in my head, I could argue, well, that's because as puppies, they were treated that way. But if they were, I don't know. But I'm just saying, a lot of dogs really are not going to do well.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Oh, in scenarios that they may not be supposed to be doing, right? So again, like with Burley, I'm trying to make this super protective, pretty much a working dog into a house dog, and you're going against the grain, right? It's the same thing with Lakota. Like, I got really good genetics with Lakota, and she's great. She has a great off switch. Yes, she's a Dutchie. Some say Dutchies are like way more energetic than Malinois, whatever, who cares, the same thing. She's actually sleeping right now on a bed. Like, she has a great off switch. When she's like ready to go and go play, she's like ready to go and go play. And when she knows that we're not, she's chilling. But with Burley, he's just... So anyway, I'm just giving you guys an update and using this therapy session on this microphone to talk about Burley, because he's definitely the hardest dog I've ever trained by far, because of his unpredictable, stubborn behavior of, oh, I get this. Okay, no, I don't. And also the amount of training I have to provide to him, even at this age, is crazy. So my expectations with him were not aligned with reality. And that's how I failed this dog. And that's why I was really frustrated. And now I'm starting to, you know, really realize like this dog just takes 2 years to train or 2.5 years because of who he is. That's his personality. Like, hey, Tom, you want this giant blockheaded, protective bodybuilding dog to walk around your house and protect you and your family? Okay. Well, it's going to take him 2 years to get the hint of what he should also be doing, right? So, like, that's the interesting thing. When I brought him home, if you guys watched the video of me bringing him home for the very first time, he was reactive. That's his genetics. So even right now, he can be reactive to other dogs out in walks, depending, because he's intact, depending on if they're intact, blah, blah, blah. I don't really care about that. That doesn't bother me. But I guess my point is he is starting to become a little bit more reasonable to handle, but it's just so interesting to see this big protective dog also be the biggest idiot in the world. So that's kind of how I messed that up in my own head. I was pushing too much, and I don't think it was a realistic or even a fair expectation for either him or me. Like, that's really what it comes down to, is I'm making myself frustrated and upset because I'm trying to take this dog and maybe have the expectation of how he's going to just get trained up really quick like all the other dogs I've trained. It's like, nah, he's a completely different breed, which is why I've only seen 3 of them in my life, is because you'd think I'd see more because they have so many, you know, stubborn behaviors and give people a hard time. But he's a tough one, man. He's a tough cookie to crack for sure. But he's a good boy. He's coming around. I just wanted to let you guys know and kind of give you an update on him. So make sure you follow me on Instagram. And also, I got some other things to tell you about Burley, because he's just the goofiest goofball ever. We just rebranded the No Bad Dog Members Club to the Tom Davis Online Academy. That includes, so we're adding some really cool new stuff in there, and I've been saying it's like your one-stop shop for dog training. It also works really great in conjunction with your dog trainer that you may be working with for a very, very, very affordable cost. And so you get my personal trainers at the Upstate Canine Academy, Zach Kaysen and Kyle, if you sign up for the All Access program, which is $39.99, starts at $19.99. But I'm also going to be doing lives from my facility for the very first time on different subjects every month, which is incredible, which means this month we're doing recall. So I'm going to go live at my facility and teach a brand new dog and or how to give pointers on introducing the recall command with a dog. And after that, we're going to go live and answer your questions. It comes with all of the uncut dog training videos as well. So an hour-long dog training video instead of the 10-minute videos you see on YouTube, so on and so forth. The beautiful community. It's an incredible opportunity for people to take advantage of kind of homework. And it's like you can download the app. You can look at it on your laptop. And also, I go live every single week. So if you're working on something with your dog or you're struggling with something with your dog, this is a great opportunity because I have videos that I can guarantee you I've already trained. Your dog at home that you're having a hard time with, I've already trained, and I put it into a 4K video and put it on there for you. And on top of that, if you have little questions in between you training with your dog and trying the things out that I provide in those training videos, you also every week can join me online until you reach the results that you want, and then continue education with my online live training videos at the Upstate Canine Academy on new and different behaviors. It's a beautiful thing. It's dog training all in one right there. It's in the link below. Back to Burley. So today, for an example, did I tell you guys about this? Maybe I didn't. I talked to a couple of dog owners today on my online program. And, you know, one of the things that I find so fascinating is dog owners, like I did a Instagram thing. People are like, how do I stop my dog from doing this? How do I stop my dog from doing this? And you know, I get it. Like, people just started following me yesterday, today, an hour ago, 2 years, whatever. And because I talk about this so much, I'm like, how do people still not know this? But I got to realize, like, come on, Tom, it's like the world doesn't revolve around you, buddy. But just understanding realistically, all jokes aside, that people still have a hard time with, how do I stop my dog from doing things that dogs want to do? For an example, how do I stop my dog from barking when people come over? How do I stop my dog from bark, you know, whatever, right? And it's like, you don't. Like, for an example, like today, the UPS guy, the Amazon driver came today, and I have construction at my house. We're putting in some outlets, nothing big, nothing crazy. And Burley was outside because I just got back from a walk with him. I put him into a down. UPS came up, or Amazon, or whatever it was, gave me the package in my hand right over him, because I honestly just selfishly wanted to work on obedience and thresholds. And then my construction guys also were letting me know, like, hey, I'm just going to walk by. And I'm like, yeah, you're good. And my point is he probably wanted to jump up and see what was going on, because he's the nosiest, clingiest dog you'll ever meet. But he didn't, because I put him in a downstay. And so my obedience trumped what he wanted to do as a dog. And by definition, you could call that suppression, because I'm basically, air quotes, forcing a dog to do something that they don't want to do. But all of dog ownership is that. Putting your dog in your backyard and it's fenced in is suppression. Putting a leash on a dog is suppression. Putting your dog in a crate is suppression. Giving your dog 2 cups of food instead of the whole bag is suppression. They want to do something, you don't allow them to do it, period. So in this case, I was putting him into a downstay. Amazon driver was there. Construction worker was there. And he was chilling, and he didn't move. I'll probably post a video on this too somewhere, but it was awesome. I was like, wow, this is great. And a lot of people don't realize, like, if their dog jumped up and ran over to see these people, two things are at fault here. The first thing is my obedience is probably not good enough just yet to throw him into that mix, which means I failed him. No bad dogs, right? I failed him because I haven't given him enough scenario, enough practice, enough reps, enough pictures in that scenario to be successful, right? And then also, the other thing is just understanding that if he does jump up, don't try to seek, how do I get my dog to not be interested in people? It's, you have to understand, as a dog owner owning an animal, a domesticated animal in your house, is you have to teach them what you want them to do in order to counter their primal instinct, period. Like, that's how that goes. That's why we teach a dog to heal, is because their instinct is to run away from you, because they're an animal and they want to run for a mile while you're walking. Or a dog to come back. Like, no, they don't want to come back. They're off leash and they're dogs. No, right? Even asking your dog to come back is suppression. Like, you're telling them, forcing them to do something that they don't want to do. So outside of suppression, it would be, like, that's why I always laugh when I hear force-free dog training. That doesn't exist. That is an absolute gimmick scam. If you ever see that, or you see that or hear that, it's a scam. Huge red flag. Like, it's literally impossible to do force-free anything with dogs. You put a leash on them, hate to break it to you, you're forcing them to do what you want to do. It's just a scam. Anyway, so outside of that, I think it's important to understand that So many times dog owners are trying to do something unrealistic, which is why they're failing. They talk about, again, I mean, I don't have my phone on me, but it's like, hey, Tom, how do I stop this? How do I stop this? I'm like, you don't stop the urge to do these things. What you do is you put obedience on this. It's like a little kid pulling up to Disney World. How do I stop my, just sit here. Okay, here's what it is. How do I stop my dog from getting excited? How do I stop my dog from getting, how do I stop my kid from getting excited to go to Disneyland? So your problem isn't that your kid is excited for Disneyland. It's what they do after they're excited. Let that sink in, okay? So what happens is externally, we say as a parent, my kid ran across the parking lot. My kid screams uncontrollably, jumps up and down, whatever. Like those are the external things that they do. When you say, how do I stop my kid from getting excited to meet Mickey Mouse or whatever? It's like, you don't. You can't stop that. What you can do is put on manners, put on obedience, put on control, hold my hand, listen to mommy and daddy, make sure you look both ways before you cross the parking lot to see Mickey Mouse. Like these are things that, so same thing. Like somebody comes to the house, how do I get my dog from stopping to jump on people? Well, first of all, you have to work on your off. You have to work on your place. You have to work on your stay. You have to work on making sure that you are applying these things with the 3 Ds, distance, distraction, and duration. So, you know, I'm thinking about writing a book this year, guys. And what it's going to be is that, is so many times dog owners will say, I want to stop X, Y, and Z. My son Banks just walked in. Hi, B. I love you. I'm talking on my podcast. Do you want to come say hi? Or do you want to eat dinner? Do you have to go potty? Anyway, back to it. So let's just say that you are at, you want, so back to the book idea is, and you guys know this, if you've been listening to this podcast long enough, you know that I freaking say this all the time. It'd be about 5 pages, which it wouldn't really be. I'd drag it out a little bit longer, but it would be, you're not going to tell a fish not to swim here. Your objective is to simply give them, that's what, I mean, obedience for humans is manners. Don't just grab and say, give me, and now. It's, may I please have, right? So if it, you know, you, it, whatever, I can go all day on that. And I don't want to get too into the rabbit hole here, guys. But my point is you just have to make sure that you understand the fundamentals of just canine behavior. You're not going to tell this Borble, big, goofy, blockhead, meathead, bubba, nub butt, big boy, to not be interested and or protective and or suspicious of the contractor or the UPS guy or anything for that matter. Your job as a dog owner is to make sure, hey, I have this dog. If you have a Rottweiler, if you have a Terrier, if you have any other dog that has this innate primal instinct to do chasing, barking, being protective, swimming, whatever, you have to make sure that you put on the manners and the systems over it. Now, some dogs are easier. Sometimes you get a dog and they're like, I just love you, man, and I'll do anything for you. And they never leave your side. And when you tell them to go lay down, they go lay down. And when you go out for a walk on a leash, they're just like, I'm cool right here, right? Some people have those dogs. Most people don't, okay? So you have to teach them how to behave the way that you want them to. Just like I'm teaching kids. Like, again, you guys are literally right here when my son just walked in and he's grabbing at himself and he's like, oh. And I'm like, dude, do you have to go potty? Do you have to go pee? I mean, these are things, right? If I just sit here and let him pee his pants because he's showing me clear signs that he's starting to get the wiggles and get anxious that he might have to go and he peed and I yelled at him. Like, no, that's like, he gave me all the cues, right? Like, I have to make sure that I'm clear. I have to make sure that I have clear communications. I have to make sure that I'm outgoing to say, hey, do you have to do this? I'm being proactive instead of reactive. And that's what a lot of people do. They say, hey, why the heck did you pee? What the heck? That's reactive. You want to be proactive. You start seeing the signs. You get a big protective dog, or you get a Rottweiler. You get a Corso. You get a Borble. You get a dog that's going to be protective. You get a German Shepherd. And you don't do any of the things that you need to do to be successful. You don't have any of the ground stuff down. You don't have any of that done. You just like wing it. You go, ah, they're beautiful dogs. Or my aunt had one. Or my neighbor had one. Or somebody that I had one. I just wanted one. Like, you're going to fail, right? So anyway, hold on. Can I have that? Can you have what? That. Do you want to come say hi? Here, come here.
Here, I'll show you.
Can you talk into the mic? Say hi.
No, you.
I am. I'm talking. Say hi, No Bad Dogs.
Hi, No Bad Dogs.
It's my son, Banks. He's a little over two. Anyway, guys, hope this was helpful for you. Happy New Year. I'm excited about the Tom Davis Online Academy. I hope you guys are too. I can't wait to see you guys in there and chat with you in there and help you out with your dog and all the fun stuff that's going to be happening there. I hope this podcast was helpful. Hope it was insightful. If not, I hope at the very least it was entertaining to learn about my very frustrating life with my dog, Burley. Follow me on Instagram. Banks, you have anything to say before we sign off, buddy?
Hi.
Say bye.
Bye.
Say thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you next time. Bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.